So good morning. So we are going to take a pause from 1 Samuel this morning with Ebi being here as our guest. He will be teaching this morning from Psalm 67. So I invite you to turn to Psalm 67. That is located on the in the Bibles in the seat in front of you on page 450, Psalm 67. It'll also be here on the screen behind me. Psalm 67 on page 450. If you are physically able, could you stand to honor the reading of God's word? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Yes, it's my pleasure and honor to be here today and to bring God's word. Thank you, Chipper and the church for giving me an opportunity to preach. So in response to my email about preaching today, Chipper asked me whether I can preach on the purpose and the importance of global missions and the local church's role in that. The purpose and the importance of global missions and the local church's role in that. As I was praying and thinking about it, the Lord reminded me of Psalm 67. So it's a missionary psalm. Okay, so I would like to open the psalm for you. But before we open God's word, let's look to the Lord in prayer, asking him to speak to each and every one of us through his word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for your inspired word. Your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. As we have gathered in your presence with eager expectation, would you open our eyes to behold your wondrous word? Would you open our ears to hear your gentle voice? Would you open our hearts to respond to your word? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable, pleasing in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 67. This is a beautiful psalm. As I told you, it's a missionary psalm. And I have divided this psalm into three parts. First, the source of all blessings. Number two, the purposes of God's blessing. And number three, the means by which God's intended purpose is fulfilled. Here you are. Okay, so the source of all blessings, the purposes of God's blessing, and the means by which God's intended purpose is fulfilled. So the first part, the source of all blessings, highlights the importance of global missions. The first part highlights the importance of global missions, and the second part describes the purpose of global missions, and the third part, the means by which God's intended purpose is fulfilled, emphasizes the local church's role in global missions. First, the source of all blessings. Let's quickly scan through Psalm 67 to see how many times the psalmist uses the word God. Look at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. And verse 6. God, our God, shall bless us. I like the way KJV has translated this particular verse. Are there any KJV users or followers here? Okay, there you are. So, God, our own God, shall bless us. God, our own God, shall bless us. Not someone's God or some other God with a lowercase g God. Our God with the uppercase G God, the only one true and living God, shall bless us. Again, verse 7, God shall bless us. The word God is repeated 7 times in just 7 verses. The psalmist, without a doubt, knows that blessings come from God. If you are raised in a church that sings doxology, you know from where all blessings flow. Praise God from whom? All blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, he heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Not just our monthly paychecks or a new car or a used car or a new house or a new job. Not just all the material blessings. Even our salvation, our newborn experience comes from God. The psalmist was confident enough, convinced and assured that blessings come from God. Do you not wonder how? Look at verse 1 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Does this ring a bell to you? Does this sound familiar to you? Turn to Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is a priestly blessing or a benediction. God gave this to Moses to be used by Aaron in the tabernacle worship. The people of God continue to use this in the temple worship at Jerusalem, and it is still used in some churches. Here we see in this psalm the psalmist's belief in the revealed word of God. This must be true because the word of God says, God, our God, blesses us. The source of all blessings is God, God himself. The psalmist does not end with this psalm with just saying the source of all blessings is God. He goes on to describe who this God is. Who is our God? Let's look at them. Number one, the God who blesses us is our Savior, is our Redeemer. Look at verse 2, Psalm 67, verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power, your salvation among all nations. In verse 1, the psalmist remembers the priestly blessing which was given post-redemption. After God redeeming his people from Egypt, from bondage, from slavery. In verse 2, his memory goes all the way back to how God delivered them, how God saved them. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Listen to this. This is important. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a hand, mighty hand, and what? Redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Redemption, salvation. The psalmist doesn't want to take it for granted. He remembers it, and he values it, and he considers it as the greatest gift. Not only he is remembering it, he is reminding God's people. He's not saying, may God be gracious to me and bless me. He says, may God be gracious to us and bless us. The way he has saved us or redeemed us is totally different. He has saved us through his son, Jesus Christ, not because of our merits, but by his grace. We have been saved through faith. This is not our own doing. It is the gift of God. Never take this gift of God for granted. Remember it. Cherish it. Remind others as well. Second, the God who blesses us is a God of justice. Look at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, with fairness. In KJV, you will read, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. This is not about the justice that the son of Korah pleaded for him in Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. This is not about this kind of justice. Vindicate me. No. This is also not about social justice or economic justice. Equal rights, equal opportunities, equal treatment. This is a missionary psalm. What you would want for peoples, nations, whole world to know and be glad and sing for joy? Would that be not for how they were made right with God? Or how they are justified? Would that be not for how they are saved from eternal condemnation? From hell. What does Paul say in Romans 5:19? For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous, justified, made right with God. Look at again how the psalmist describes. You judge the peoples with equity. Are you able to connect the dots now? Maybe this one from John Piper can help you. God aims to be known as a God of justice. The God of all the earth will do right. He will judge the peoples with equity, either in hell or in Jesus. This is like, turn to Jesus in faith and in repentance, you will be saved. You'll be justified. You'll be made right with God. There is no condemnation for you because you are judged in Jesus. If you don't turn to Jesus in faith and in repentance, you will be judged in hell. I know this is a missionary psalm, and we are and will be guided to think about nations, people who do not know the Lord. Neither I want to presume falsely that everyone gathered here or listening to this sermon are saved, nor I want you to have a false presumption that you are saved. Let me ask you these questions. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you believe that He has made right with God? Do you have the assurance that there is no condemnation or judgment in hell for you, as you have been already judged in Jesus? If not, turn to Him in faith and repentance. If you are confused, maybe you should talk to your pastor or the elders after the service. So the first one, the God who blesses us is our Savior. And then the God who blesses us is a God of justice. And finally, the God who blesses us is sovereign. Look at the last part of verse 4. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth, or govern the nations, guide the nations. Our God is sovereign. He rules, He reigns, He guides, and He governs. Who is on the throne? Our God is on the throne. Nations are not ruled by presidents or prime ministers. Nations are ruled by our God. Presidents or prime ministers will rise and fall, but our God rules and reigns forever. He removes kings and He sets up kings. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever He will. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it was not a joke. He is sovereign and He rules. Therefore, this is true. The God who blesses us is sovereign. Our God, sovereign God, is at work in the world. He's saving His people in Gainesville. He's saving His people in Chad, Central Africa. He's saving His people in India. He's saving His people in Togo, West Africa. He's saving His people in Jamaica. He justifies them and He makes them right. This is why global missions is important. He is already at work gathering His people. Having looked at the source of our blessings, or the importance of global missions, let's look at the purposes of God's blessing. There are three purposes expressed in this psalm. I don't want to spend more time unpacking each of the purpose in detail. This can become a separate sermon on its own. I just want to highlight each of the purposes. First, God wants nations to know Himself, God. Nations to know God. Jews and Gentiles to know God. Look at verse 1 and 2 together. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. The word "that" in verse 2 is a purpose clause. It's like "so that." And where do you have the period? Is it at the end of verse 1 or at the end of verse 2? Verse 2, right? At the end of verse 1, we have a command, right? Verse 1 and verse 2 are connected with "that," or with "so that." So God's blessing is for a purpose, and that purpose is for the nations to know him. Know what is saving power, is salvation. This kind of knowing is not an intellectual knowing, but this is an experiential learning, intimate and personal knowledge of God. So the first purpose is for the nations to know God. And the second purpose of God's blessing is for the nations to praise God. Look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The same verse is repeated in verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God wants nations to praise him, worship him. But what kind of worshipers he's desiring to have? This psalm throws some light on this. In order to understand this, we need to remember a literary device called inclusio. Inclusio in Latin means enclosure. When a section of a passage or a chapter or a book begins and ends with the same phrase or a word or a verse, Bible scholars call it inclusio. What inclusio does is it informs the reader that everything enclosed or sandwiched between the beginning and the end is the main idea or the message. We notice that verse 3 and verse 5 are the same. But these two verses serve as an inclusio because verse 4 is sandwiched or enclosed between verse 3 and 5. Verse 4 is the key verse. What is verse 4? Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the nations praise him. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. From this, we understand that God wants worshipers who are glad and joyful. In other words, God wants worshipers who enjoy him. When do you think God is most glorified in you? Here is what John Piper says. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Therefore, Piper says, worship is the fuel and goal of missions. It is the goal of missions because in missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the greatness of the peoples in the greatness of God. Let the nations praise him. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Those who know God can become true worshipers of God. Worshipers who find true satisfaction in the greatness of God. So the first purpose is to know God, and then the second purpose is to praise God. And then the third purpose of God's blessing is for the nations to fear God. Look at the last verse, verse 7. God shall bless us, let all the ends of the earth fear him. There are two kinds of fear. The fear that drives people away from God and the fear that drives people to God. This is not the fear that drives people away from God. This is the fear that drives people to God. Reverential fear, awe and wonder. The more you get to know him, the more you will worship him. The more you will enjoy him and you will find satisfaction in him. And the more you get to worship him and enjoy him, the more you will fear him. As nations come to know him, God wants them to be worshipers who enjoy him at his greatness with fear and trembling. And this is God's purpose for his blessing. And this is the purpose of global missions. We want people, all people, Jews and Gentiles, to know God and to praise God and to fear God. So we have come to the last part of the message. First, we looked at the source of all blessings. Second, we looked at the purposes of God's blessing. And finally, we are going to look at the means by which God's intended purpose is fulfilled. Don't be surprised if I say God's purpose of nations coming to know him, worshiping him, or enjoying him, or finding full satisfaction in him, fearing him with awe and reverence, is fulfilled through us. It is fulfilled through the ones who have received Jesus Christ as their sovereign Lord and Savior, through the ones who have been justified in Jesus, through the ones who have been made right with God. This is the profile that God is expecting from us. We are the means by which God's intended purpose is fulfilled. I would like to take you back to verses 1 and 2 and verses 6 and 7. See whether the psalmist is using a personal pronoun, me, or a collective pronoun, us. Verses 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. We also see the pronoun us is being used in verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. God's intended purpose will be fulfilled through us. First, it is fulfilled through our going. Have you heard of this phrase before? Blessed to be a blessing. Do you know where it is rooted? It's rooted in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Listen to me as I read. Look out for the phrase, so that. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who honors you, him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations shall be blessed. God doesn't want his blessings to stop with Abraham. God wants Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. In him, all the families of the earth, Jews and Gentiles, shall be blessed. First, God chose Abraham to be a blessing to the nations. Next, he chose Israel as a nation to be a blessing to the nations. Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What is the work of the priests in the Old Testament? If the work of the prophets is to reveal the word of God, and if the work of the kings is to rule the people of God, the work of the priest is reconciling work. Prophets reveal the word of God. Kings rule the people of God. But priests reconcile. They are the mediators between God and people. God had blessed Israel as a nation and set apart Israel as a nation to be his priests, to be his mediators, to reconcile nations with God, to be a blessing to the nations. And Psalm 67 is a very good reminder, and it reinforces this very purpose. But we know how Israel failed as a nation in fulfilling God's purposes for them. The rest of the Old Testament history is about their failure. But just like how in the past God chose Israel to be a blessing to the nations, to be his priests, reconciling people with God, he has chosen the church. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. You, there is plural, you, church. Church, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. People who brings people to God, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God's blessings do not stop with us. We are not the end in itself, but we are the means to an end. Everyone has been called to be a blessing. Everyone has been called to do the reconciling work. You are going as a missionary. But here's the thing. For some, their mission field is foreign countries. For others, the mission field is where the Lord has placed you. God doesn't want all who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, justified in Jesus, to go as missionaries to a foreign land, so that his purpose of nations coming to know him, enjoy him, praise him, fear him, can be fulfilled. But God wants some to go as missionaries to a foreign land and others to be as missionaries where they are and fulfill God's purpose. We live in such a time as people from all nations are coming to us. They are at our doorsteps. And we do have a wonderful opportunity to be a blessing to them. But if God calls you to go to another country, please do not say no. One way of fulfilling God's purpose is by going. There are two other ways. The second way is by praying. Look at Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. This is a prayer. The psalmist is praying, God, please be gracious to us and bless us so that your way may be known on earth. We can use this in our prayer for us so that we will be a blessing to the nations. I think we should all start here so that when opportunity arises, we will not be ashamed of the gospel and we will gladly share the gospel. Charles Spurgeon once said, God can light up a whole nation with a spark of one poor praying soul. And then that could be you. Even through your prayers, God can light up a whole nation. Prayer changes individuals, families, communities, cities, and nations. We can be a blessing to the nations by going and by praying, and finally, by giving. Where do I see this in Psalm 67? Verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase, God, our God, shall bless us. On purpose, I did not unpack the context of this psalm in the beginning of my sermon. I want to unpack it here because it goes well with the giving. This psalm might have been written in the context of the harvest festival when the land has yielded its increase and when they are gathered together to give thanksgiving to God for the plentiful harvest. It is surprising to me that when their hands are full of God's blessings, when they are blessed beyond measure, they are not thinking about themselves. Rather, they are thinking about nations coming to know God, nations worshiping Him, nations finding full satisfaction in Him, and nations fearing Him with awe and reverence. While it's not explicitly stated, but it is implied that they are willing to give back to God, the source of all blessing, knowing the purposes of God's blessings. Nations can come to know Christ, praise Him, enjoy Him, fear Him through us, and that is through our giving. I know that I can talk about going. If only involves going as a missionary to some other country, then it is difficult. If I say you are a missionary in Gainesville, I think it's an easy ask, right? Likewise, I can easily talk about praying. It's also an easy ask. But giving, it's a sensitive matter. Some people don't want people to ask them. But there is no one size fits all when it comes to asking and giving. Do you like George Muller, who began orphanages in London? How many of you like George Muller? Have you heard about George Muller? Okay, good. Do you like Hudson Taylor, who went to the interior China as a missionary and started China Inland Mission Society? Do you like him? Yes. Do you like D.L. Moody, who went from shoe selling in Boston to be the world's leading evangelist and founder of the Moody Bible Institute? Do you like him? Let me share their asking strategies, okay? George Muller, only prayed. He was not directly asking for money, but he was asking indirectly. He had offering baskets in the vicinity of people who come to pray. Hudson Taylor prayed and shared the needs. George Muller just prayed. Hudson Taylor prayed and shared the needs. But B.L. Moody prayed, shared the needs, and asked. God used George Muller, God used Hudson Taylor, and God used D.L. Moody. And God used all three of them. As I said, there is no one size fits all. God can use different people with different approaches. God's blessing is for the purpose of nations coming to know Him, worshiping Him, and fearing Him with awe and reverence. And God needs us in accomplishing this grand purpose. God needs you, and God needs the local church. He wants the local church to go. He wants the local church to pray, and He wants the local church to give. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for ministering to us through Your word. From Psalm 67, the importance of global missions, the purpose of global missions, and how the local church can participate in it. Thank You, Lord, for all Your good blessings. It's from You. You have given it to us so that we can use it to be a blessing for others. Show us ways that we can partner with You, Lord, as You are already at work. You are sovereign. You are redeeming people all over the world. So help us to be sensitive of that and partner with You through our going, through our praying, and through our giving. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.